Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to keep moving forward. So good to have you here. Well, just remain on your feet, those in the room. So honored to have Pastor Gary Clark here with us all the way from London, Hillsong London. And 20 years ago, I first heard Pastor Gary speak at Hillsong College. I was a student, a naughty student, mischievous student, sitting on the back row, and it's hard to believe, isn't it, Gary? But, you know, I remember every time Pastor Gary would come in and encourage and talk and speak to the students, I remember something inside of me was like, wow, he just began to pioneer the work in London. I thought, wow, imagine one day get to do something similar. And Gary, you really inspired me as a young leader and for Chantel and I, and we absolutely love you and Kathy. One of the things Gary's taught me is in the middle of turbulence, you just keep going. You keep going. And so many challenges Gary's had throughout his life, but he's just had this stickability where he will not allow anything to take him down. And Gary, you set the mark for so many young leaders. We're so encouraged. I don't know about you, but Hillsong Conference in Europe has been life-changing for literally hundreds of thousands of people over the past 15 odd years. And we want to say thank you for your commitment to the cause. Thank you for sticking at it, even when times have been really tough. And we're here today to love you, to honor you. And as you bring the word, I know it's going to encourage those both who are watching at home and those in the room. So come on, would you put your hands together? Give Pastor Gary a huge welcome as he brings the word.
Thanks, John. Fantastic. Why don't you grab a seat? And I didn't even know you were in Bible college back then, John. There you go. 20 years is a long time ago, isn't it? But it's great to be here. This is the first time I've been in a, are we allowed to use the word, live worship service for, well, I've stopped counting. For months, 8 months actually, and so that's good. It's nice to be here. I don't know how you're feeling right now, but when this whole go home and lock yourself in your house thing started, and everything that come because of that, I thought, well, three weeks, we'll be on top of this. Maybe a month and we'll be back. And I started counting how many days. Then I started counting how many Sundays. Then I started counting how many months. And I've decided to stop counting. Because it's like the gift that just keeps giving, isn't it? And there's been lots of tragedy. There's been lots of sorrow. There's people finding it hard. But in the middle of all that too, there's been lots of good things as well. People have still been having babies, and people are still getting married, and there's still lots of life that is taking place inside this whole context. And I keep trying to remind our staff, or you know, when I say keep trying to, just recently, to come on, let's acknowledge the tragedy, but let's also acknowledge the triumph. Let's celebrate life as it plays out, and let's do what the Bible says, that we weep with those who weep, we mourn with those who mourn, and we celebrate with those who celebrate. And you know, so much that as I read the Bible now from maybe from a slightly different context, so much of the Word of God has more got to do with what's going on inside of you, inside of what you're in, rather than, hey, how do we fix what's going on the outside? But how do we actually live inside whatever the constraint that we find ourselves in? And before I get into my message, I'll give you an example. In Colossians chapter 4, pick it up about verse 1. This is Paul starts speaking, and his Message Bible puts it a bit like this. So I'm going to paraphrase because I can't remember it word by word, all right? But he starts out with, you know, be thankful. Be great. Be full of gratitude. And then he says, so after he says that, he says, I want you to pray for me. After he says, pray for me, he outlines what he wants everyone to pray for him about. And here he is, he's praying, he goes on a few verses down. I think by the time you get to about verse 2 and a bit or into 3, he says, while I'm here in jail. So here he is at the end of his life, in jail, and he says, I want you to pray for me that God's going to open doors. And the context of the open doors is there are people that I'm in jail with that don't know Jesus. And so I want you to pray that God's going to open doors so that I might be able to explain this mystery of Jesus. Mystery meaning something that is very difficult or almost impossible to explain. But I pray God's going to give me the wisdom to be able to do that for the people that I'm with. And then he flips it again and starts talking back and moves the context away from himself to the people he's speaking to. And he says, come on, just be careful what comes out your mouth. Be mindful the way you treat other people, etc., etc., right? The thing that strikes me most about that is Paul's in jail, but he's not discouraged. He's in jail. He could have been in jail and said, I want you to pray for me because I'm grossly disappointed. I'm grossly disappointed because I've spent my whole life serving God. And I went through a whole lot of hardships, which you can read in 2 Corinthians. And I was shipwrecked and I was beaten 3 times. Jesus was only beaten once. I copped it 3 times. And I just want to know, where was the Holy Spirit that come and rescued me? Jesus got beaten once. I got beaten 3 times. I got shipwrecked. There was no cruise liner come along to rescue me, so he didn't answer my prayers. There was no whining about any disappointments in the circumstances that he was in. He was completely mindful of what Christ was doing in him and what Christ wanted to do through him to touch other people's lives. He just never lost sight of that. And I'm saying that just to say, there's so many things that I'm like you. I feel I could outdo John Norman in his frustration about lockdown. Oh, that's a big call. I know that's a big call for some people, but I would maybe rival him. There's a few people would think, no, I don't think you even get close to him. But anyway. But it's all that's the circumstance and the frustration of the circumstance and the sorrow inside that takes place and all of that. But it's about the Christ within us that we've got to be reminded of. And that's what Paul, and you could hear, if you read that in the Message Bible, especially the way Eugene Peterson puts it, you realize that Paul is speaking from this place of, in my inner world, I'm in a place of great confidence in my God working in my life and enabling me to be able to. Because he didn't even say, pray for me that I might be able to handle my time in jail. He didn't even mention that. Pray for my comfort. Pray for the food is just absolutely awful. There was none of those prayers. It was very in the sense of, I'm in this, I know where I am, however, it's not the meditation of my life, it's not a whole lot of things. You could begin to build a whole message on that. So you get what I'm trying to say? All right, so can we pray? I know we've already prayed, but Father, we thank you for your word, because Lord, it shows us, it reveals things to us about you. And most importantly, it reveals to us about you that's at work within us in the world that we live in. And Father, we just commit this time to you. Pray that you might use it. Touch people's lives in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay. So let me see if I can. I've got 22 minutes and 43 seconds, which means I'll get halfway through my introduction. So I sort of just did that. So let's pick up in 2 Timothy, all right? So 2 Timothy, as you well know, follows 1 Timothy. I didn't have to go to Bible college to realize that one. I just had to turn the pages of my Bible, right? And once again, it all depends who you're talking to or who you're studying about this. You could be just turning from one letter to another letter. Some people will even say that Paul didn't even write both letters. Other scholars will say you, as you turn the page from 1 Timothy to 2 Timothy, there's a whole space of time that has taken place. 1 Timothy, how old was Timothy when 1 Timothy was written? Some say he was about 21. Others say he was somewhere between the age of 21 and 30. His involvement with Paul was because something fantastic was taking place. The Word of God was, I'll use all the church words we love. The Word of God was powerful, was moving. The Spirit was moving. There was, you could almost go glory days, church expansion. It's all going great. Churches are being planted. He's been put in charge of a church. Paul writes him a letter, tells him how he should, I guess, run that church, lead that church, all of that. And it's all, hey, come on, house in order. This is good times. By the time you flick over to 2 Timothy, if I follow the train of thought of there's a lot of years between the Timothy that was written to in 1 Timothy and the Timothy written to in 2 Timothy, the glory days had gone. Everything wasn't as wonderful. Everything, the Spirit, if we've got to be careful how you hear, the Spirit wasn't moving. Persecution had broken out. There'd be a whole lot of things had taken place and had happened to the church. You could almost put Timothy in the position where he's a leader, a church leader, and he's looking back almost in this position and looking back and saying, well, everything we had, wasn't it so good? Everything was so wonderful. It doesn't exist anymore. Because it's like everyone, this was good. People are turning to Christ. I guess miracles are happening. All of that, you know, let's call it a certain amount of, the public are happy with what's taken place, all of that. And now he's lost, it's just gone, right? So we pick it up. Hopefully I've sort of got you thinking about maybe the context a little bit. And you could almost say, if I'm trying to draw a parallel with let's go January, February this year and October, November this year, and how much has changed in a short period of time, then your assumption's correct. That's what I'm trying to do, right? So enough of that. So let's listen to what Paul says to Timothy. You know, he sort of starts out with, I'll pick it up in verse 2. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded that your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives inside of you. Verse 6, he says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, or the Spirit of God does not give us a spirit of fear. All right, you got to remember, it was a fear. Anyway, I'll come back to that maybe. Doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but gives us of power, of love and a sound mind. Verse 8 said, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord Jesus or me, his prisoner. So he's in prison writing this to somebody else. He didn't, notice, even if I take it again, he didn't start off with, Timothy, I'm in prison. You think it's bad for you? Can I tell you my story? Because I bet you my story trumps your story. I bet you. He was in this position where he's like, all right, I'm going to encourage somebody here. Timothy's obviously on a downer. All right, he's in that place where he's in this down place. Now, right at the top, he comes with God's grace, His mercy, His peace, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, God's grace. We don't need to get in and start unpacking those things, but His enablement. It's not just His favor that brings us in. It's also about His enablement in our lives. His mercy. His how He extends the perfection of who He is towards us in our weaknesses. Peace, a peace that just where inside potential is the, well, there's nothing missing here, there's nothing broken, it's holding together here. It's a peace that comes from God. You know, John chapter 14, you know, for John 14 verse 1, so I wanted to read it for you so I get it word for word. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, what's Jesus doing? He's talking to His disciples. What's He in the middle of? He's explaining to them, I'm out of here and I'm going to leave you alone. And He's trying to explain to them that they're not going to be left alone. The Holy Spirit is going to come and He's going to be with you. But He's in this dynamic of trying to explain this to them. So He starts with, don't let your hearts be troubled. Troubled means don't let your heart cave into fear. Right, because if you let your heart cave into fear, it will run off in panic. Right? Have you noticed when people get super, and we're mindful of that in this time we're living right now. When fear grips people, what happens? That they begin to, panic becomes contagious. Right? And so He's saying to His disciples, come on, don't be fearful and run in panic because of what I'm telling you. Right? So then He goes on and you read through it. And by the time you get down to... where are we? Maybe verse 26. He says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, in whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. And then He says this in verse 27. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you, and I do not give it to you as the world gives. Right? Now, New Living Translation says, peace of mind, peace of heart. All right, that's what I give you. It's something the world can't give you. So it doesn't matter how Jesus has got something for us, all right, that the world cannot give us. World meaning those who are outside the realm of God, meaning the thing, if we're not careful, the things we look to that we think are going to give us a peace of mind and a peace of heart. If we can just get this circumstance sorted out, it's all going to be okay. If we can just get this situation nailed, it's all going to be okay. If we can just get this nailed, then I'm going to be okay. And a lot of that is looking at the things of the world and saying, come on, I'm looking there to try and get this and this at ease. Yeah. All right, and He says it's something that the world can't give. I'm going to give you something the world can't give you. We got something the world ain't got. And if there is ever a time for church people to be able to say, I got something the world can't give me. Why is it that despite all that's going on, you're not moaning in your prayer pool? Why weren't you moaning about being in jail? Why weren't you moaning about hardship? Why weren't you moaning about your weakness? Why weren't you moaning about what? Because he's got something the world can't give him. Do you get, you with me on this? Yeah? The Morstons are with me. Thank you. All right, so. But then he goes, he finishes with, so don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, let's come back to Paul talking to Timothy here. He says, so he's talking to a guy who he reminds him of a few things within himself. Right? He reminds him that God is with him. Because you imagine he's probably in a tough time right now, Timothy, and wondering, where is God? Where is God in my circumstance? Where's he gone? Where I can't see him at work. There's a whole lot of things that we can, if we're not careful, we can get caught up in. You know, we've got to be careful how I say this, but you know, if we're bought into a philosophy that Jesus is my genie that grants my wishes, he could be found wanting at the moment. Right? All right, so Timothy's in this place, perhaps. It's like he's got a whole lot of question going on about serving God, about being a church leader, his own personal life under pressure and persecution and whatever is coming their way. So Paul completely reaffirms to him, come on, it's there. I just want to remind you that the Spirit of God is within you. It's there. It's there. He's there with you. He has not left you. The circumstances may be adverse, but it doesn't mean God has left you in this situation, right? So then he goes on and he says, as you read on, he says, so then he reminds him of something. So I want to remind you of this gift, all right? That I know's there because I laid hands on you, right? For the Spirit of God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Right? So he gets straight into saying, so he didn't say, don't be fearful. He didn't say, don't be timid. He said, the Spirit of God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. And whatever fear and all of those sorts of things that we can be carrying, it's not from God. It's not from God. And so, and then he says, but it's a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. It all depends what version you read for the order that comes out. So I'm reading from the NIV. So it says, spirit of power. His power. His power. And sometimes if we're not careful, we see his power is in reference to what's going on out there. His power out there. Even his power manifests in praying for someone and they're sick and they get healed or that type of thing. But he's referring to his power within. His power work within the context of your life, Timothy, to be able to. Your ability to be able to lead in this time, you to be able to live in this time, you to be able to stand up in this time, you to be able to despite whatever, still talk about the grace of God and the mercy of God and the peace of God at work in your heart, in your life. Right? He says he didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love. That power, love. You know, if ever there was probably anything right now, if we noticed, you know, the world that we live in right now is like, how dare you say that? I'm going to attack you. I don't agree with you as I attack you. If you don't agree with me, I will attack you. Ah, hang it, I'm going to attack you anyway. Now, if I was to say that outside the church, I think that we could accept that from people who don't know God. But inside the church, what an opportunity the church has to be able to, for people who are, whose hearts are failing them in fear, who are running in panic, who are looking to the world and the world is failing them, to be able to go, Well, there's this weird group of people, they're called Christians. We discounted them decades ago. We think they're all nuts. Have you seen that sign, Soul Church? Who'd go there? They're all nutcases. Well, that's, we like it or not, that's what the world thinks of us, right? However, what an opportunity to be able to go, but I thought they were nuts, but they're just different. And the thing that's different about them is they must be followers of this Jesus, because they're not biting each other, and they're not at each other, and they're rallying around each other, and they're helping each other, and they're just doing all, they're doing everything that the world is not doing. Or what is it about them? Oh, it's called the love of God. It's called the love of God that is exhibited in their behavior. Evidence that we are his followers is our love one for another. We're his followers is not our holiness. It's not our perfection. It's not our agreement on the dogma of doctrine and argument and all of that. It's on our love. How will they know that you're my disciples? Well, you love one for another. That's what Jesus said. I know religion would rather say it's a whole lot of other things, but our love one for another. Just as simple as that. And what's our love full of? A guy called Brian Zahn, just this thought, he just goes, love has got this, inside the word, the love of God, is this emotional tension of forgiveness. The emotional tension, I like the way he says it, the emotional tension. And forgiveness, you can't express the love of God if it doesn't contain forgiveness. It's not God's love. Let's face it, what do we all hang on? God's love towards us. And what do we love most about God's love towards us? Not his warm embrace, it's his forgiveness. Because there's this tension of forgiveness inside of it, and we know, we anchor ourselves in the fact that his forgiveness comes as a gift towards us, not something that we can earn, only something that we can receive. But it works the same way when it comes to other people. And so there's lots of things we could talk about when it comes to just his love. Right? He says that, come on, that's what you've got in all of this, Timothy. Can you imagine in a time of upheaval and onslaught and persecution, how many people Timothy would probably have loved to have smacked? Come on. So it's not inside. Come on. God didn't give you a spirit of fear in all of this. Come on. Power. You can. Come on. Within you. Within you. Of love. And then he says of a sound mind. In other words, I'm holding it. I'm holding my mind together in all of this. It's amazing. Paul speaks in Philippians, I've learned the secret of being content. He tells us not to, he says, another verses, he says, don't worry about things. Worry leads to anxiety. What is anxiety? It's dwelling on the what if that's fueled by fear and all of that sort of stuff. How do we become anxious? We dwell, we ruminate on the wrong things, and it causes us to become anxious. And he says, so just think about other things. Think about the good things. Think about what's noble. Think about what's right. And we can sit there and we could go, well, I'm really struggling with this. Yeah, you could be, but the Holy Spirit is also there too to help you with this. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to enable me. I'm going to get control of my mind that is running on me because of all my what ifs. The what ifs. The what if. What if. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves living in yesterday, which is full of regret and pain and condemnation and shame and all of that. Or we can get all caught up in tomorrow and it's all full of anxiety, and we just get anxious about things and we get fearful about things and all of that. Or we could live now, which is Jesus sort of says in Matthew 6, you know, come on now. I'm living now. What can he bring for me now? Paul, you look, we're open. Where was Paul? Paul was in his now. He was in his now, still living the purpose of God. He was in that place. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Right? So in my 1 minute and 58 seconds, all right, what I want to do is, I know John said before when we're socially distanced singing, come on, the presence of God is here. And he is. And you sense it. But can I take it one step further and say, you sense it, yeah. Can you feel it within, in the sense of, it's not the God outside of you right now that's going to work with you. It's the Christ in us. As Paul said, the Christ in us, the hope of glory. And sometimes he's what we call his manifest presence, and all of those words we use. She needs to remind us of his inner dwelling. What he talked about there in John chapter 14, that the Spirit of God, the Comforter, the Spirit of God that doesn't bring a spirit of fear, but brings a spirit of power, brings love and a sound mind. That's the inner working of the Spirit of God in our lives. And I just want to maybe take a moment, and if we can, it's been a long time since I've sang a Jesus song, so we'll sing one more Jesus song. And and can we all stand together? And I want to encourage you, the same way Paul, so I don't know where you're at. All I know is if we're not careful, there's lots to get discouraged about. I mean, we all thought, who knows? Are we going to have Christmas dinner with our family? Or there's all sorts of things to get discouraged with. There's some people, there's lots of hardship. For others, we're making tough times hardship. They're really just tough times. There's a whole lot of dynamics going on, and I'm not trying to be dismissive about anything and ignore anything. So no matter where you're at, what Paul said to Timothy here, he says, come on, you stir, you fan to flame. Come on, you remind yourself of yes on this. This I try and remind, you know, as much as I can, you know, our church, that just this simple thought, you know, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, right? The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, which happens to be the same Spirit that spoke everything into existence. The same Spirit that is so big that doesn't matter how big your thinking is, your brain is not big enough to grasp how immense he is. This great mystery of Christ within us. How do you explain that the God of the universe lives inside of you? I mean, it's impossible. Any rational mind cannot grasp that. But it's the truth. But in faith, we grasp that. In faith, we acknowledge it. And all of those words that we used to use. But the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. Stir it. What does stir it up mean? Oh, come on, someone pray for me. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Oh, we've all been in one of those prayer meetings, right? So, is that what I'm talking about? Stir it. Come on, remind yourself. Remind yourself. Jesus, remind yourself. Jesus is in you. The same Jesus in you. Can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what Paul says. Come on, You can. Come on, I want to just take, let's take a moment. Let's take a moment of worship. Remind yourself. Come on, you. It gives you a sound mic. Come on, you can remind yourself. Come on, you can stir that within you, whatever it is that you need. Father, Lord, as we just take this moment, as we just worship together, as we remind ourselves of you, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that spirit of power, Lord, love, a sound mind, a reminder of your grace, your mercy, your peace would stir, your enablement, your, Lord, we can. Lord, whatever it is that's happening in people's lives, I pray you stir it today. You stir it. You stir it. Come on, I pray as we worship, you stir it in Jesus' name. Amen.
To him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all that you can ask or think. How? Not according to the power outside of us, but according to the power that's at work within us. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I got a fresh sense of perspective in that message. And what Pastor Gary doesn't know is that we just literally picked up, we're talking about Paul on Sunday, and literally just took that message. Wouldn't say no, it was the next level. It was the next level. It really was, but really just expanded it. And, you know, we don't call each other and say, oh, well, you should do this. That's what God's Spirit does. God's Spirit leads us, and it's just a continuation on. And I want to just encourage us to really just activate what Pastor Gary said about the Spirit. Because there's going to be some moments, you're going to be at home, you're going to be in your office, you're going to be feeling like, oh, you're missing community. And stir the Spirit. Stir up that Spirit. You don't just stir up in this room. This is like the cherry on the cake. You can stir it up wherever you are, in the supermarket, stir up in the car. Just keep saying, God, I need your presence afresh in my life. I'm just going to stir it up with that spirit of gratitude that we've been talking about. And I'm believing God's going to carry us through. We are going to come out the other side. Our best days are in front of us. I don't know about you, but that was an absolutely brilliant, brilliant message. Thank you, Pastor Gary Clark. Hey, will you do us a favor? If you're watching online, share it. I want as many people to hear that message in our church and beyond. And so share it, like it, subscribe, and drop some comments. And thank you, Gary. And I really believe for Pastor Gary. I said to him, it was like you'd just been let out of a cage. It's like you'd been unleashed. This is the first time he's spoken to a room for a while. And man, that was powerful. And we absolutely love our Hillsong church family, pastors Brian and Bobby and Gary and Kathy. And what we're a part of is just such a great church and unity. And so
thanks again for tuning in, and if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.